Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Hey, and welcome to Monday's Deep Dive. We are breaking down what we saw in the Sunday games from week three, followed up with a little bit of some look-ahead analysis where we see some early lines popping here all across the board for week four action. And then we'll close with our take on the Monday night tilt between the Cowboys and the Cardinals in beautiful Glendale, Arizona. How you doing this Monday, Andy? Did you have a good weekend?
I am spectacular. Football went well.
Yeah, man. Matter. We got to start.
Doesn't matter how the weekend is. As long as you win, take the hailstorms and ingrown toenails. But if you win money.
Yeah, man.
We got to start calling you prime. Extremely well.
Oh, dude, yeah. Thank you for the no sweat winner on Georgia. That was the only college action I got down on this weekend, and it was spectacular. I flipped in as I was doing my Saturday day drinking, and I was like, "Oh, this is fantastic! This is going exactly as planned." So appreciate that, winner. We got to start calling you Primetime Andy because you have been all over these primetime spots, man. Your reads are spot on. Even though the Rams didn't cover for you, that was a Rams cover all game. It was just sort of their defense took the night off.
Nice little apology for gave two opposing picks in that game and they both lost.
Yeah. So well, at the time that we gave
putting in our horns, how smart that is to take the money line.
I know, right? At the time, the Rams were only -2, so your advice wasn't like it was a push. So I'm not gonna say we both lost. But yeah, that was a rough one because that was a Rams cover all day. They should have won by more than a touchdown. But then at the same time, it was like one terrible offensive pass interference call away from us from a Niners win. So who the hell knows?
Yeah, that was
crazy, man.
That was dicey.
Yeah, the zebras inserted themselves into a number of games yesterday. It was kind of disappointing. I mean, the end of the Lions Falcons game was just bananas. That was crazy.
Most of the early game. There was an hour there where I didn't have enough TVs and I couldn't flip around fast enough as things are happening. And everybody has, you know, on your remote, the back or return or whatever, flip to the last channel button. And I was goofed up. I was trying to get to the Patriots game from whatever I was watching and it flipped over to the Steelers game, which I had the Bears +7.5 in that one. And they were going to kick a field goal right at the end there. I said, well, I'll watch this quick. And so then, you know, obviously I ended up staying on that channel for like 10 goddamn minutes while they sorted that out. that was a whole someone like, God, it was the mill. I think he had that first half under. That would have been just the nastiest swing of emotions there from
oh my god
no to the block to oh he's gonna run it back to oh that's not a touchdown now they're gonna you know call it halftime and good again now they're bringing him out oh they're gonna go for it maybe they don't get it maybe I still get this and then you get that was a delay a game or false start and then they end up kicking it. It was such a good and the Bears end up winning anyway.
Very that was weird insane, man. That was insane. That was one of the most bananas sequences I've seen. And then, sure enough, like you mentioned, the end of the 1 o'clock games, the Red Zone channel was absolute must watch TV with the Pats coming back on the Texans, which you kind of knew was coming the whole way. You knew when Bill O'Brien called that third and short, where if he gets a first down, you put the Patriots away, and he just lines up, and the power formation is obvious as everyone in the whole stadium is like, oh, he's just going to, you know, he's just trying to hand off to his fullback and get him in position to kick this field goal. He's not even going to try to pick up the first down. Sure enough, doesn't pick up the first down, leaves too much time on the clock for Tom Brady, and, you know, Tom Brady does Tom Brady stuff. And Too much time for Tommy. Same thing with the same thing with the Bengals. The Bengals had, you know, they had some momentum in the fourth quarter. They were driving. You know, they had the Packers defense on their heels, and they got conservative right at the wrong time, knowing they were in field goal range and they could go up a touchdown. And they left too much time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers. And so that just goes to show you, if you're a coach and you're up against If you're up against a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, don't screw around at the end of the game. Well, go for the jugular. You can't
Romo said it right. Conservative. Like, when they took the ball in overtime, whatever he said as far as if that's who you were going to call for plays, why'd you even take the ball first?
Yes. Like, yes, exactly. Like, oh my God. Seriously. Yeah, especially when you were finding success with your aggressive play calling in the first half against that team, why they came out with the whole second half game plan was frustrating, and Cincinnati still doesn't get it. Marvin Lewis, I'm sorry, this is your last season, but you know, you had a good run. Speaking of Cincinnati, after the Browns, that Browns game was kind of whack too. That Browns with the Jacoby Brissett coming out party, after making the Browns a road fave for the first time in like a decade, they now are home dogs to the winless Cincinnati Bengals. You see this line opened up at Cincinnati -4. It's taking some money now, so it's down to Cincinnati -3.5. But, you know, this is how many times are people going to line up to back Cleveland and they're going to let down? I think I have to, you know, I have enough in preseason futures that I'm kind of out of luck here. I got to keep backing them. But, you know, is this the game where Cleveland finally puts it together and finally gets a W? It'll be a fascinating one. So keep an eye out on that one. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland starts taking money at some point and this really dips into the, you know, below the key number of 3.5. And actually, you know, as long as we're saying this, you know, if you want the hook right now, get it, because I'd be surprised if this doesn't end close around Cincinnati -3. That's it.
Somebody made a Dante Culpepper comparison on Sunday.
Yeah,
and well, it's funny, like as a guy who's Brissett watched looked, every yeah, Vikings game for the last Brissett, man. Do you remember Dante Culpepper's first game?
Oh
I remember it vividly. I don't think he had a passing touchdown, but he ran for three. I believe. And it was, we were all pumped.
Am I being close? Am I being too narrow and comparing Brissett to Culpepper? I mean, they have a similar body type. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're thick with two C's.
Exactly. Yeah. Big ass legs, big ass. I mean, you got and now we get interesting. We were making jokes about this 2 weeks ago, but week 4, Sunday Night Football, you got the 1-2 Colts with Jacoby Brissett heading to, what is it now? CenturyLink Field in Seattle to play the 1-2 Seahawks. So Seahawks backs on the road. They are backs against the wall.
Points.
Seahawks 13 point favorite.
That was going to be awful. That offense.
I don't know, man. I think probably is the look.
Yeah, 41 and a half.
The over is
right
the look
now
in this game. 41 and a half is too low. The Seahawks defense is starting to show some wear and tear, obviously, from how you know they've been on the field for a lot through three weeks of the season. So I'd be surprised if the Colts can't get some. There'll probably be some defensive touchdowns here. So that's a decent look on that one is probably the over. It's at 41.5 right now. So you're not coming up on any key numbers really. But that's a good look for next week is the primetime over on Sunday Night Football. My favorite angle heading into week 3 was the Jets. I had almost my entire month of September depended on them covering and a little bonus for them winning. They came through with flying colors yesterday. I was pretty proud of those guys. The Dolphins looked about exactly as travel weary as we expected. That was a beautiful situation that we were able to capitalize on. And I can't believe this, but there's another Jets back situation setting up this week. They're home dogs again. This time it's against the Jaguars. Jaguars and Blake Bortles were spectacular in London.
Yeah.
They were so good against the Ravens. They made the Ravens, it's arguable whether the Ravens even got off a plane in London. The Jags were basically running a glorified practice out there. The Jags now come back. They don't take their bye. They're going directly to New York. So this will be their second week in a row on the road, and this is difficult travel. So I'm thinking this is another
home team. The back last
Jets
week.
Here.
No, that's technically they were a home team technically, but yeah.
Technically, they were home. Travel was interesting.
Yeah, you can get 3 points in the Jets with plus money right now.
Yeah, that's where I'm at in this game.
I can see him winning that outright.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't really mention that we're doing a smaller, just for fun, Twitter contest. The whale and I.
I don't know about for fun, man. This is for all the glory of Twitter.
For all the glory of Twitter. And I guess we did okay for the first 2 weeks, and I guess that's maybe why we didn't bring it up. But it's awful hard to not bring up a solid 3-0 week with the – oh, I wanted to. And I really wanted Cincinnati to win. So our picks were
– I know.
Jags, Jets, Cincinnati, which is a lot of holding your nose. But, we should have three outright underdog winners on that.
I know. Yeah. We should have.
But either way, they all covered the number as we rocking up the leaderboard.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to try to stay away from the Jets. I said it last week, and maybe I'll just stick to this. Maybe I'll look for an angle on the over on this because it's down at 39.5, which is awfully damn low. That Jags defense might be tired. The Jets may be able to score enough points to get this game over the total.
It's gross to bet something. Like, I don't feel good in the morning waking up knowing that I bet on the Jaguars, the Jets, the Bears. I mean, these are your tickets I had that you in your head see like 41-0. Like that.
Exactly. You're like, I'm going to get blanked here.
Terrible team getting blown out. And it was obviously it was a very big dog day. So that helped.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, I felt good last week heading in on backing the Raiders, and they practically did lose 41-0. The Raiders now head to Denver. This will be an interesting one and a tough one to break down. The books open this at a pick. 92% of the early action is backing the Broncos in this. The Raiders looked that bad on Sunday night that. You know, no one in there. I think I saw the word exposed about 50 times on my timeline during the second half of that game. And sure enough, you know, the Raiders, they win one way, and that is by getting out to a pretty substantial lead so that they can let their defense play downhill. That did not materialize against the Redskins last night. And, it's difficult to see them getting early success against the Denver defense, which is going to be pretty angry. That Denver loss to the Bills was a weird game. I don't know how much of that one you watched, but the refs, boy, they did you see the penalty that really kind of clinched the game where Von Miller had kind of a he went to give him the helping hand up and gave him the too slow, and they called a 15-yard penalty.
I can't believe they called that. Like, it's a dick move.
It's a douchebag move.
But I mean, if you ever hear like where they have someone, you know, you get some hot mics on the field, some of the shit they say to each other. It's a lot worse than, you know, the old slide your hand back behind your head after you're offering a handshake move. Seriously. So that was a bit surprising, but it was funny both ways.
It was. And, you know, it ended up costing me. The under. The under came in a loser because that put the Bills in position to get a field goal at the end of the game and take it over the total, which was disappointing, but that's fine.
I wanted so badly to bet the Buffalo Bills in that game. And I looked at what I bet already. I'm like, okay, Andy, like 10 underdogs are going to come through today. Apparently it was like 12. So I couldn't stomach any more underdogs. I underestimated that.
Yeah, I know. The only one that was kind of popular underdog pick that didn't come through is the Chargers, because the Chargers and Phillip Rivers is not right. Were you blown away when you saw this? This is a trap line of the week, by the way. The Chargers this week are hosting Philadelphia. Okay, Philadelphia is 2-1. They just pulled off. They pulled a W out of a loss against the Giants. I'm shocked that the Giants did not win that game. 61-yard field goal.
That was a long damn field goal.
Spectacular. They now turn around and they head to LA. This is the third week in a row the Chargers are going to be at home. The Chargers have yet to cover at home, and the Chargers are 1-point favorites. The 0-3 Chargers are 1-point favorites at home to the 2-1 Philadelphia Eagles. They are asking, begging, pleading for Eagles money in this, hanging a line like that. But I think the Chargers get their first win of the season here. So that's actually one of the, if you know, I don't know. It's not like, you know, it, I don't think you're going to see this minus one get bet all the way up to minus three. I do think that this is going to continue to get pushed in the direction of the Chargers once people, kind of do a deeper breakdown on this game. So, find the best number on Chargers to beat the Eagles and get their first win of the season is an interesting look for me this week. The what do you think? Maybe let me kind of ask you your take on a couple of these games coming up. We don't want to make this too long because we're still looking for some information here, obviously. But there's another interesting take here. Baltimore, we talked about Baltimore looking like a disaster in London. They were clearly looking ahead to their game this week against Pittsburgh. They are 2-0 in division. Pittsburgh also had a pretty brutal loss to the Bears in a game where the Bears only had like 100 passing yards. They were able to do enough on the ground to get by the Steelers. That was a weird game. And the Steelers and the Steelers, the Patriots and the Seahawks right now, you know, they were all expected to be competing for a Super Bowl this season, and all three have looked very, very, how do you say, preseason-y. So it's a question, you know, I have a question of whether or not the Steelers are actually going to be in, like, full-on, you know, full-on regular season amazing Steelers here. I think the Ravens might be able to catch these guys. This opened at Steelers minus one, and it's already been bet up to Steelers minus 2.5. That's a lot of support. You have a feel for this one on the side?
Yeah, this was one where I looked at, you know, just so much going on a Sunday, and I looked at the Ravens. I'm like, God, I might want to look at, even with the travel, I might want to look to back the Ravens in a little bit of a bounce back. And I looked at it, and then later that day, I'm watching much later that day. You know, it was an early game for the Ravens. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh game, watching that finish up, and I'm like, God, I might want to look the back of the Steelers in a little bit of a bounce back spot here. And I'd forgotten from
there together.
Yeah, so I
double bounce back.
You know, road Ben is much worse than home Ben.
Yeah,
it's. I was talking to somebody about this. It is. At least it's, you know, it's Baltimore. You know, he's been there every year for his entire career.
You know, it's
not traveling across the country to go play an NFC team that they play every 6 years or something. It's, you know, it is a familiar travel spot. The Steelers should be much, much, much better than this on offense. You feel like at 45 points, so you're talking like 21.5 or 22 for a team total. I may look to back Steelers team total over on this because they are
interesting angle.
I think they have to, like, we have to get our offense right, guys. That's how we're supposed to be winning games. We have, you know, perennial all pros on our team, and we're not scoring against the Bears. Like we should put up 35. So I think they'll work on the offense a little in practice, kind of concentrate on things, and you know they should put up 24, 28 points at least. So I mean, if Blake Bortles can do it, granted, you know, they're sleptwalked after they did their double decker bus ride around London or whatever, you know, they did for sightseeing. Right. I can see backing that. I gotta lean Steelers. They have to get to, you know, they have a good coach. They have veteran players. They have to get things right. You could say the same things for the Ravens, but I just don't think the talent's there.
Yeah, and it was clear that the Ravens.
Macklin, you know, they had an update. Right. I guess Macklin, I didn't catch that.
I didn't see the Macklin injury update either, but he could be in trouble this week for playing. Clearly, the offensive line is still figuring itself out in the new configuration without Yanda, who is the anchor. You know, there's going to be some interesting injury follow-up here to just kind of lean which way the side is, you know, should be looking. As far as the total goes, it looks like they opened up at 45, which is kind of a dead number between 44 and 47, and they're kind of looking for some guidance from the market, which way to take this thing. I was just going to make that point. My guess is that this is going to take some money on the under, and it could get into the 44, 43 range. And if it gets, if you want the overweight on this until the big money comes in on the under, or the public money comes in on the under and pushes this number down, and vice versa, if you want the under in this because you think this is going to be a smash mouth game between two tired teams that neither one is particularly sharp and both have, you know, offensive issues right now, then your opportunity to get on the under before it gets to the key number is right now. Interesting. Last other interesting situational angle I wanted to bring up here before talking about a couple more games, and we're making good progress, I got to say. You have two teams that played on Thursday Night Football getting extra rest and that are now going on the road this week. And strangely enough, the Rams and the Niners are both going on the road to play the two teams that are on Monday Night Football tonight. So you got a double, rest advantage situation stacking up here, where Dallas and Arizona both can have short weeks after Monday Night Football, and Rams and 49ers both have longer weeks after Thursday Night Football. Now, you could even say that the Rams defense has got an extra week bye week because the Rams defense didn't really play against the Niners. The Niners defense has some issues, obviously. You know, they're still figuring out, you know, how to use all of their pieces appropriately in there, but their offense finally found some traction against the Rams. These are going to be two interesting, dogs to back, road dogs. You're looking at likely going to get about 7.5 or 8 points to back the Niners, and you're probably going to get close to 9 points to back the Rams. Are you on board with those two stinky dogs on the road?
I do like the Rams. I think that number's a bit high. It should be touchdown or maybe a little less. It's a really good spot just rest wise. I don't quite know what's going on with Dallas right now.
No, I guess we're gonna learn something tonight.
Yeah, I might, you know, and if Dallas comes out on the road and wins convincingly, does that go north? It's 9-10 points, I suppose. I can see a big Dallas win. You end up with that number at 10. That's why I probably will wait, just because it's at 8.5, and I guess I don't care if it reopens at like 7, 7.5, if they don't play as well. But if I can get it up at like 10, boy, I'd be pretty excited about the Rams with about 15 days of rest going in there and playing a team on a short week. Less excited about the Niners. And again, it's the same thing here. I'll just repeat everything I just said. Really got to see what the Cardinals do. You got dead arm slinging it, and Fitzy hasn't got quite as involved as – and, of course, you're missing your running
back. David Johnson's out. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a lot of points. That's a lot of points for Arizona, for a team that has a lot of question marks on both sides of the ball. And that's in division as well. So a lot of interesting reasons there to get behind the Niners when you're getting more than a touchdown. So that'll be interesting. Once those lines are open after, you know, actually we're going to have to watch tonight. But we'll circle back and talk about these on our longer pod on Wednesday and our deeper deep dive. So those are interesting spots. The other line that I see doing some, there's two other lines I see doing some moving. And again, this is all for dogs. So there's a little bit of market effect going on where people saw all these dogs cover week three, and they see a bunch of dog opportunities to back week four, and they're diving all over these. You see they opened up New England as 9.5 point favorites. Most of the money came in on Carolina at that number, and it's bet down to -8.5. These aren't very important numbers, so I don't think this is a really big deal. But I do see value in Carolina there. This looks like a decent bounce back week for Carolina. They were atrocious against the Saints, but the Saints again had their backs against the wall. That was their Normandy. They needed to win to survive. this season, and they caught the Panthers snoozing a little bit. Meanwhile, here the Panthers go up to New England, where you know I'm sure they knew this game was coming. I'm sure the Panthers get up for this game. The Patriots have problems. Their defense still has not figured out what their identity is. Their offensive line is showing some cracks. They were missing some pieces, obviously, and we'll have to watch the injuries on this. But you know, I could see the Carolina defensive line being pretty disruptive against the Pats, and this is, to me at least, looks like a good spot to back Carolina. It's 8.5 now. It's on its way down to 7.5 or so. I'm going to probably get involved in this before it gets there. And I do think the Patriots are on upset alert this week, with the chance for Carolina to just go in there. Yeah, this feels like a statement game for Carolina. And if, you know, hey, guess what? And if, you know, we're taking a chance, if Carolina turns out that their statement is we can't compete with the Patriots, then you can pretty much write them off for the rest of the season as far as that carry. The Buffalo Bills are the other dog making money.
The being invincible at Gillette, that's not a thing this year. So that might be a Carolina money line sprinkle.
No, yeah, I'm certain, you know, hey, I'm a victim of like thinking back through history and remembering seeing what's happening and like looking at historical kind of results and saying, wow, this is a pattern recognition bias, right? Like that's a problem I have handicapping. And I look at the Patriots arc so far this season and I see the exact start that they had to their 2014 season. Now their 2014 season, they lost at Miami ugly. It was on the road as opposed to losing to KC ugly at home. But regardless, they had a bounce back the next week where they played great and easily handled the Vikings in 2014, similar to the way they treated the Saints on the road in week two, coming back to having a tight one against a team they easily should have. You know, they were 13-point favorites against the Texans. Everyone expected them to cover easily against a rookie quarterback. They barely eked it out, similar to the week three of 2014 where they eked it out against the Raiders. And then everyone remembers, obviously, the Monday night debacle in Kansas City week four. And to a degree, I'm preparing for history to repeat itself a little bit here with the Panthers just manhandling the Patriots and everybody saying that the Patriots are 2-2. Is this team, you know, what's wrong with this team? And kind of panicking, so to speak, hitting the panic button on the Patriots after a week four beatdown. So that's a little bit of my perspective on this game. The other dog that's taken some big money here is the Bills. The Bills, we mentioned, had a huge win at home against the Broncos. The books in the, you know, Vegas made an absolute killing on that game and the Raiders game.
Pretty big weekend. I just saw some numbers on that earlier as far as like the percentage of the handle that they usually take for weekend. It was three times like a normal weekend as far as their rake. And a lot of that, 11 dogs cover and the biggest one ends up covering and winning outright. The public's going to take a bath of blood.
Yeah, right. I mean, the books obviously took position on that Broncos game that, you know, you had money at a, you know, 90% clip heading, you know, backing the Broncos. And lo and behold, they wouldn't give the Bills backers the hook in that game. Pretty incredible. Buffalo heads this week to Atlanta on that particularly fast field. Where the Falcons are going to be laying at open. The Falcons were laying 9.5 points. The Bills have taken enough money now to move that down to 8. Past 8.5 to 8 is an interesting move, I think. I'm interested in the Falcons in this game if I'm interested in anything at all. I think the Bills defense has played extremely hard for now 3 weeks in a row. And they head on the road and they're on this fast surface. I think they're going to be in for a little bit of a tough spot. The Falcons team total over is intriguing, but I think they can comfortably handle the Bills. And, you know, the Bills still have a lot of issues on offense that they need to work out. And we'll see if the Falcons defense can continue their improvements.
I lean that way too, just because they are pulling wins out of their ass.
Just that offense on the fast turf at home, loud home crowd, the Bills playing very physical games, you know, week after week here and getting it done for the most part. Nothing against, you know, Sanders and the guys up in Denver as far as their offensive weapons, but the two running backs plus Julio and Matty Ice, you feel like they're gonna lay 30 on them pretty easily. Okay. Like the offense looks like they can start to you know, click, gel, and throw up points like that every week like they did last year. If that's the case, I don't know if Buffalo can get into the mid 20s.
Okay.
Well, especially if it gets to 7, which that would take a lot of, I suppose that would take a lot of Buffalo money to get it down there, but maybe it might find my way into some money line parlays.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up, man. You got to take on tonight's game. I'm going to play the under. I don't think that the Cardinals are going to be able to score enough points to get this thing over the total of 47. So I'm sitting on under 47 in this game. Do you have a side or a total in your looks?
I do have some Cardinals plus 3 from just my early snags last week, like this time last week. So I'm sitting in that. I'm going to watch the total. I don't know. It's a, you know, primetime game, bigger handle. Lines might move a little more. I could lean on that under, but well, I kind of want to see what it does, and I'll make some decisions then since I already have a bet on the game. No need to double dip in a game. I'm not even excited to watch this one, I guess. I'm more along the lines to see about how hard to bet St. Louis and San Francisco next week.
Yeah, to a degree, this feels like the kind of game where, you know, the public bled all weekend, and they get a little bit of love back. And the Cowboys could cover comfortably, and everybody pats themselves on the back and stops the bleeding. All right, well, that'll do it for us for Monday. That was a good, concise little pod, and we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Andy, have a great Monday night.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Okay, bye-bye.